Hello, everybody. I'm Lou Dobbs. This is the Great America Show, and we're thrilled you're with us today. Welcome to the show. And today we're talking about just how much we can trust our electoral system and the people who run elections all across the country, the importance of all of us getting involved at the local level as volunteers to be sure we have eyes on this election and on anyone who would cheat us out of our democracy. With close elections all across the country, and one in particular in Pennsylvania, the too-close-to-call GOP Senate primary there, where Dr. Oz has a slight lead over McCormick by fewer than 2,500 votes. Cleaning up our elections is now absolutely essential to the survival of our republic. There have been two documentaries already this year on what happened in 2020, Dave Bossie's Rigged and Dinesh D'Souza's 2,000 Mules. And Mike Lindell is supporting efforts in a number of states to challenge in-court voting machines to eliminate them. Lindell believes strongly that the best way to assure the integrity of our elections is to go back to the paper ballot and have one day to vote, one day only. No drop boxes, no vote by mail, no nonsense. Oh, yes, and voter ID as well. Our guest today on the Great America Show is a national leader in the fight to restore integrity and security to our elections. She's Catherine Engelbrecht, the head of True the Vote, whose work is a central feature of the documentary 2,000 Mules. We'll be talking about ballot harvesting, ballot trafficking, and the mules who run fraudulent ballots back and forth to the drop boxes, and much more. Catherine Engelbrecht, it's great to have you back with us on the Great America Show. 2,000 Mules having a heck of an impact. We're hearing lots of people now giving credit to you and to 2,000 Mules for some changes in attitude and direction that gives us some hope for some considerably improved election integrity. Give us a sense how 2,000 Mules is doing and how you judge the success of the impact you're having.
Oh, great question. Well, I hear that it is doing very, very well. I'm not certain of the actual stats comparatively, but it's one of the top streaming movies in the world, which seems like a lot, but it's going great guns. And so we're thrilled about that. As far as the impact and what we're seeing on that front, I mean, I think the thing that I'm very, very encouraged, and I'm encouraged specifically about the actions of the American people who we have seen just, you know, pouring over into our site and into our socials and saying, what can we do? And taking constructive action and really focusing on where the breakdown in process is occurring in their local elections and how they can be a part of addressing that. And that's really what it takes to get this back to a more level playing field for all American voters. And so I'm very encouraged that people are seeing ways that they can have a positive impact in engaging. That's what we hope for. And that's what we're achieving.
The Arizona election fraud investigation. It seems like a direct response to 2,000 Mules. Your judgment?
Well, I want to give credit where credit is due. They have been working diligently. We came into that situation in 2021, and they have been working diligently. You know, we have been able to help and provide information, but and I think the timing is in some ways connected with the exposure of the movie. But all that said, look, I mean, there's far too few law enforcement agents out there that are looking seriously at election crimes. And so I applaud Yuma County and all they're doing. And I think it's going to start a trend, I hope.
Well, Yuma County is right on in the heart of what is going on in this country as a border county in a border state. With, you know, engaged in corruption on both sides of that border and fighting for electoral integrity on top of that, it is something of an epicenter for 21st century American politics, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it, you know, we spent a lot of time in communities in Yuma County, and I must tell you, it's a, it's very revealing that these communities are sort of kept in a way by local elected officials who really run the table with all manner of government programs and dollars that come into those programs. And part of that pay for play to have access to those programs for voters is their participation with their ballot. And so that's a grift that goes very deep. And we're so happy to see it being called out for what it is, because it's voter abuse. At the end of the day, this is targeting the most vulnerable communities, and it's abusive. And we're just happy that it's being seen for what it is.
Well, you're giving everyone an opportunity to see what this electoral fraud is, and particularly ballot trafficking, which is a great expression for, given, again, Yuma County, a border county. Again, they're used to all sorts of trafficking, whether it's drugs or human smuggling, sex trafficking.
That's right. And
ballot trafficking. The corruption, there's a sense that corruption sort of stops with the ballot, but really doesn't. I mean, we're looking at a political party, and I'm talking about the Democrats, that are involved in all sorts of political corruption, but also very real, ugly criminal trafficking and smuggling and drugs. Because anytime you take a pro open borders position, a pro illegal immigration position, you're basically saying turn that border over to the cartels, aren't you?
Well, I mean, it's a very dangerous situation. It's a very overwhelming situation, and people in Yuma County and border towns, you know, across our country, are seeing it for what it is. And, you know, I mean, the other thing I've learned in this process is, you know, the sad fact is both parties are engaged in this in different ways from what we can tell. But if you are complicit and you know it's happening and you're doing nothing to stop it, and again, specifically now talking about the election fraud that both parties know is going on, whether you're engaging in it or you're just allowing it to continue, you're complicit, and that needs to be called out too. It's gone on too long. Our process has become too weakened by the layers of calculated chaos, never more so than in 2020. And, you know, I mean, you look at any other industrialized country in the world and their election process, and we look like a third world country by comparison, and something's got to give.
Yeah. President Biden's chief of staff was making a reference to the French elections in which Macron came back and beat a candidate who never was given by anyone who was following affairs in France, given much of a chance. But he talked about, well, that must mean that the president has a good shot. But he left out something, and that is the French actually have a voter identification system that is very rigid and very thorough, and which we don't have anything approaching that. And no matter what that vote outcome, there was going to be a high level of confidence that whoever had the highest number of votes, whether it was Marine Le Pen or whether it was Emmanuel Macron, they're going to be the winner. We don't have that anymore in this country.
No, that's exactly right. And it's by design. You know, we look at any other facet of our lives where we live in the age of Amazon one click, right? Where we can have things delivered accurately and efficiently. And everybody agrees that a certain level of identification is required in that. A certain level of identification is required with Twitter, where you have to upload your ID. I mean, there's myriad examples where we accept that identification is appropriate, but yet in elections, somehow it becomes this political football, just like, you know, this protracted period of time for elections and the removal of signature, you know, the push for mail ballots and the removal of signature verifications and other checks and balances. I mean, no country does this except us. And it's because I believe it plays to the advantage of the politicos that know how to subvert and manipulate a weak process. And until the American people stand up and say, look, we see what you're doing and we're not going to take it anymore, it's going to continue. So now is that time. And that's what we hope 2000 Mules is constructive in illustrating. It's being abused. All of these notions that this is just for convenience and to make it easy to vote, it's being abused. And now we have to get serious about correcting it to uphold the sanctity of that vote for all voters.
You know, one aspect of that is convincing a voter bloc that you're on their side and this is what's best for you, as the Democrats have done for decades now. But what I understand is why the minority, in this case, African-Americans, continue to believe the nonsense spewed by the Democratic Party, which is it's sort of a bigotry of low expectations. They actually represent to the rest of the country that African-Americans aren't smart enough, aren't economically secure enough to afford voter identification. That's an insult, I would think, beyond compare in modern America.
Well, I absolutely agree with that statement, but I'll also tell you that the view from the ground is that the Republican Party does itself no favors by not walking in community in minority areas or areas of a profile that don't necessarily vote Republican. They need to be in those areas with a pro-liberty message, winning hearts and minds, because if they're not, then those communities never hear from Republicans and never hear that there are options, and it becomes a one-way street. So, you've got to walk in people's lives, and the old saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You've just got to show up. And I know that there's a balance there, but look, most Americans, the vast majority want for liberty. They want for freedom. They want for their kids to have opportunities. They want to have opportunities for success. And sure, there are some that don't, but for the most part, we are a lot more alike than we are different. And I believe it's going to fall now to the American people to find our way back together. We still are going to have two parties and there will still be differences of opinion, but we've got to find a way back. And I think that starting with election integrity is a great step in the right direction.
I do too. And I agree with you. Absolutely. I do think that we're going to have to put severe penalties in place. We're going to have to create incentives. And by incentives, I mean reasons not to do something as well.
Right, right.
It's outrageous that you can traffic ballots, change the course of history, and have no penalty for it because you were just playing dirty tricks. The expression itself trivializes what the impact of such acts are, whether it's ballot harvesting, ballot trafficking, whether it is drop boxes. It almost sounds quaint and cute at various points, and you get to extend your voting day to voting seasons.
Right.
It's an absurdity. And we don't have either party right now with the appetite or the incentive to do anything about it. You would think Republicans would have the sense to do it because it right now appears to be in their interest to do so, given where the abuse is most often falling. But the left in this country is being aided, as you say, by an indolent and indifferent Republican National Committee and Republican leadership, frankly, in both houses on Capitol Hill.
I agree. I mean, we've been working on this project since early 2021, and I could fill up your time until the sun went down and came up again in the morning with the blocks that we have met with from specifically from the Republican side, trying to prevent this information from coming out for a handful of reasons, but chiefly among them is this notion that, we just need to kick this down the road. 2020 is over, and better luck next time. But the problem is the issues that we're facing don't correct themselves. They become codified in the system of institutionalized fraud. And we never stop and do the hard work of saying, wait, what's really going on here? We just keep, you know, we just keep kicking it down the road, and we have reached that tipping point where we have to dig deep and say the system of our elections is it must be fortified or we're going to lose it. I mean, right now, I'll tell you, I mean, you have lawsuits all over the country, you know, while you know, we're sort of turning in circles with our information and trying to inform people. You have far left groups all over the country that are suing in states, as they always do, to prevent the cleaning of the voter rolls, suing to remove citizenship checks. But in one instance, I can tell you a very well-known group is paying off the medical debt of voters. All of these things should be pursued aggressively. And some of that has to happen in court, some of it in the court of public opinion, but they're not stopping.
And that raises the question, because all of your good work, bringing all of this to the surface and forcing people to, if we could only get Republican and corporatist media outlets to see 2,000 Mules, for example, to be reporting on what you discover. I mean, you and I talked, in the fall, about mm-hmm. what was going on in Georgia, all of that you had brought forward and that is laid out in 2000 Mules. I mean, we were talking about that now, I'm going to say it was 9 months ago, something on that order. And in Georgia, it seems wrestling with it, but I haven't heard a clear direction in the state of Georgia to how they're cleaning it up. Have you?
Well, you know, I was very heartened when the direction was that, you know, they came forward and said, you know, that they were going to open investigations on the basis of credible evidence. That was a very encouraging moment in January, based upon complaints that we had filed in November and a much longer conversation, you know, that you and I shared some months ago about all of the, you know, hits and misses of trying to figure out the appropriate process. That said, we are at a bit of a stalemate right now, and it's a very difficult situation because we've put forward all of our information. We put all of this into complaints, including, you know, videos with timestamps and all of the data. But the one thing that we were very clear with the state was that we have one informant who had shared information, and we cannot break the confidentiality of that person who has already, you know, been victimized in a lot of ways just by having talked to us the first time. And so we've made that very clear. And where we are right now is that it appears that they want to hang up everything on that one point. If we can't divulge that source, then they're not going to do anything. And it's a little bit of a standoff, actually a lot of a standoff, because we're not going to, but yet we have droves of information. Watch the movie that shows all manner of things. So it's, you know, I'm not sure where that's going to end. I'm hopeful that cooler heads will prevail, but, this is very, very, very serious business, and the people that are involved in it, the bad guys, shall we say, they play for keeps. And anybody that thinks that they can just, you know, throw an investigation together and unearth layers and layers and layers of a criminal syndicate by playing softball with it, they're crazy. This is serious business, and if they don't treat it seriously, you know, It's not going to go anywhere, and we're going to have to keep pushing it out into the public, and we have so many more stories to tell, and we're going to keep telling them.
Well, good for you, and thanks for all that you and True the Vote have done. It's an incredible work that you're doing for the nation. I want to just ask you as well about, by the way, speaking about the issue in Georgia, there is a Republican Party in Georgia that is schizophrenic, I believe. it is very hard to make sense of anything they're doing, whether it's on voter identification, whether it's on their selection of voting companies to count the votes, whether it is how they are treating the evidence that you put forward, which, by the way, True the Vote has a ton of evidence that is just amazing to watch. And to just avert their eyes is not a significant or satisfactory way to respond in any way. Speaking of unsatisfactory responses, Republican Speaker Robin Voss stopped the Gableman investigation, paused it, he said. And this investigation goes to the heart of what you're talking about. How was money used to abuse the system? What was happening? And how did $400 million express itself with five cities in the great state of Wisconsin? And just at the point where he is ready to bring charges, Gableman, the special counsel, former Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in Wisconsin, and he pauses the investigation that everybody had been waiting for. And where are we now? It's remarkable what the Republican Party is doing in Wisconsin as well, don't you think?
Well, absolutely. And Wisconsin's, you know, we've worked a lot over the years in Wisconsin, and they've got their work cut out for them. I mean, you know, that's a same day voter registration state that has made all kinds of exceptions for, you know, not cleaning their voter rolls, you know, set aside lists of voters that get special privileges, same day registration that time upon time after the cycle proves up that the people that came in to vote weren't who they said they were, don't live where they said they lived. And this just goes on cycle after cycle. And I just hope that Justice Gableman, and however he can, continues to press on and keep the issue alive. And certainly we're going to be there to help. It's unfortunate that Speaker Voss did that. And I don't know exactly what all that really means in terms of, you know, the cessation or the pause. But I can tell you this, the people in Wisconsin are not pausing. They are not pausing. They are furious and they want answers. So it's, you know, it's far from over as far as it goes on the ground.
And by the way, just a little point of history on this thing for our audience. It was Voss who called for the investigation, empowered Gableman as the special counsel, and now suddenly doesn't like the result, which is he wants charges against a number of individuals who he says are responsible for the nightmare in Wisconsin in 2020. It's really an unthinkable development, frankly. And we've seen this sort of grinding to this point in Wisconsin because there's so much opposition to the truth in the state of Wisconsin when it comes to electoral integrity. And I suspect that's what you've been dealing with across the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And it's, the fact is all of the easy choices are in the past on this subject. The process of our elections has now been eroded to a point that you can't just go in and fix one thing and expect it all to sort of fall back in line. There are so many layers of subversion that must be identified and addressed. This is not going to be an easy process, but I continue to come back to my belief that the American people, once they are awake, are quick to not only respond to the laws on the books, but to engaging in a process. And I just believe that you know, that good wins here. I just believe that people will wake up and good will win. We have to keep it up. It is not easy. This is a very tedious, granular national conversation, but it's long overdue. So I'm very, very optimistic, but it's going to be tough.
Well, if you're encouraged, I'm encouraged. But I have to also say at the same time, drop boxes are still coming in November. Illegal voters are going to be on the rolls. month-long voting will still be permitted. And there'll be same day registration, and millions of ballots will be floated out into the, if all places, right, the postal service to deliver those ballots to people who didn't ask for them, who many of whom are not qualified to hold them or return them. It's still with, we're what, 6 months out. And are we going to be ready for this election? Is there any reason for us to think the results of this election will be any different than 2020?
Well, I think so. We have made improvements in we've seen legislation across a number of states where they are removing drop boxes and they are limiting the mail out of ballots. So that's encouraging. On the voter roll side, it's nothing that a little bit of technology couldn't fix. The fact is voter rolls are, in almost all states are open for, public inspection and getting those rolls and getting them cleaned up using current technology. There's no reason that we could not, not to get too deep into it, but a parallel set that can show what clean rolls look like. It's done every day in private industry, the resolution of identity, residency, and citizenship. It's a heavy lift just because of the size of the data set, but it's totally doable and so necessary. So, that's a way to expose the problems. And then, as it relates to those states that aren't making those improvements, that they still have drop boxes and still are pushing out mass bail out of ballots. Those are the states where citizens engaging will be incredibly important. And the demands for surveillance on those drop boxes, which sadly, even though we show video in the movie, it is a fraction of what it should have been because most states didn't bother to actually use surveillance video or if they did, they didn't keep it. So it's not going to be perfect, but we got to start somewhere and we got to keep pushing.
Absolutely. What are your thoughts about Mike Lindell's idea of just getting rid of electronic voting?
Well, I think that is, it's ambitious, but I will tell you that one of the most, to use a techie term, elegant, a very fluid and efficient process. One of the most elegant processes I've ever seen was in Mexico that they conduct their elections in all paper, but that paper is equivalent to legal tender. They have microfiche that run through the ballot. They have holograms that run through. Every voter gets one. Everybody shows up on election day. They have their IDs. If they don't have their IDs, they don't get to vote. There's so many things I could tell you about those elections. Again, they've got their own issues with the cartels. But in terms of process, we could learn a lot. And it points to the fact that it can be done. The technology exists to do it and do it elegantly. But another thing that Mexico does that's very unique is they engage their entire population in working at the polls. They have a lottery, and if you get chosen, you work at the polls, and you're a member of a team at your polling location, and it's an all hands on deck kind of thing. That's something that would necessarily need to happen if you're going to go to all paper, because it's a labor intensive process. Right. So you have to break it down into smaller groups and up the securities in other ways. But it certainly takes takes the guesswork out of it because you have the paper trail quite literally.
Well, that's an interesting idea, and I think most people probably are as surprised as I am. I had never heard of that process in Mexico, and that's just close enough, if I recall, from Yuma, Arizona, to send a couple of emissaries down to Mexico City and get the lay of the land and come back with that idea.
100%.
It would be a great thing.
The way that I know this is that back in 2013, 2014, somewhere in there, when one of the main arguments of the day was photo voter identification, and I'm in Texas, and along the border, the rhetoric was that this was unfair to the Latin community. And I knew it not to be the case simply because all Latin countries have photo voter identification. And so we doggone got on a plane and went to understand how they vote in Mexico. And they have a very unique situation in that after a failed presidential election, they formed a body that is a public-private partnership that came up with this new process. And at that time, they had a dormitory that they housed people from other countries to come and learn about their process and to work together to improve process. And I asked them if they had, to your example, to your suggestion, had they ever hosted anybody from America? We were the first organization, according to them, the first organization from the U.S. that had ever come to learn.
Well, let's light up that idea again.
I love it. There's a lot to learn from other countries, but to keep it back to our balance, right? So, I mean, we have to take the best of what we can learn from other countries and then bring it back to America, which is the way always been, right? The melting pot of America that can find that balance between, you know, national security and state sovereignty and personal liberty. There's a balance there to be had, but we have to stop playing politics. You can play politics with anything you want, just leave the elections sacrosanct.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, the old Stalin quote, you know, vote as much as you want, as long as I get to decide who counts the votes.
Right.
That's worked for a very long time. I want to turn, as we wrap up here, to just simply what we should expect come November. The left is continuing its abuse. The right is continuing its neglect and indifference and laziness. It is time for us to get straight on what has to be done. I do want to, which states, I guess I'm going to ask this in a positive manner. Which states will we see the greatest improvement in electoral security?
There is really good legislation moving forward in what's been passed in Texas. It's moving forward in Arizona, in Pennsylvania, in Wisconsin. I'm not sure if they'll get it passed, but they're trying. In Georgia, they've made some good strides. There's some in Missouri, just did some good stuff in legislation, removal of drop boxes. So there are some improvements, but I think the difference that will be made in 2022 is for Americans to get out and hold the line in their local elections and just do what you can in the situation that exists. If there are drop boxes, they need to have surveillance. Rolls need to be known for what they are in terms of the level of inaccuracy. It just needs to be made transparent. And then we can't lift our heads up. We have to go straight into 2024, continuing to fight for improvements.
Well, we encourage our audience, everybody in this audience, always to be involved at the local level, to be full participants. That's right. And whether it's a zoning board or the city council meeting or your school board, whichever you like, but get into it and be sure that you're available to work on election day and election night, as in some cases election season, because your voice and your eyes are needed to watch over that process at the local level. And everybody can make a huge contribution to the outcome. We always, Catherine, give our guests the last word, and you get the last word here.
I think my last word for today is that while I know what we're bringing forward and so many other things that you know, hit the airwaves, hit the headlines, seem overwhelming, this country is worth fighting for and worth working for, and worth working with your fellow countrymen. So I'm very heartened, and I hope that all your listeners will be too. It's tough, but it is worth doing.
Well said. And Catherine, thanks so much for all you're doing. You're living your council to the rest of us, And we appreciate all that you and True the Vote has done and will continue to do. You've been at this for many a year, before I know, at least the last, 12, 13 years.
Yeah, that's right.
Catherine, thanks so much for being here on The Great America Show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Catherine Engelbrecht, True the Vote. Thanks, everybody, for joining us here today. With us tomorrow will be John Solomon, the editor of Just the News. We'll be bringing you right up to date on the John Durham investigation and the trial now underway in Washington, in which Durham prosecutors charged Democrat attorney Michael Sussman with lying to the FBI and in playing a key role in the Russia collusion disinformation campaign created by the Clinton campaign apparatus to attack President Donald Trump, and which gave rise to the special counsel investigation of President Trump. That's here tomorrow on The Great America Show. Till then, God bless you and God bless America.